Hello, my name is Peter Cinnamon, and you are very welcome to Kicking Match. We are an Irish League podcast, and we are dipping back into all the news and all the things that have been going down. It is nice to be back. It's been a mega month, it's fair to say, since I've been back on. There's been transfers, there's been a whole big manager merry-go-round. There's been European games that are now penciled in, and Northern Ireland disappointed us all. All that and more on the way. I'm back. Gotta shake off all the rust that I've had for the past, whatever it is, 5 weeks, month that I've been away. I did say it probably could have happened, but look, I was away doing somewhat fun things. I had my stag, I've been working on planning one of the biggest days of my life. But luckily for me, while I was away, we probably had one of the most newsworthy and busy postseason months, I think, ever. Which was bad news for me because I wanted to jump on and pretty much every second to talk about it. But it means it's good news for you, listener, because you were patient, you sat back, you trusted the process. And now I am here with a big present filled with all the juicy news and things that have been going down. So I'm going to cover it all. And here to help me are the fresh-faced summer interns, it feels like, for this podcast. It is delight to welcome back from around the grounds, and you know them as well as I do. It is Joe McCallion and Ross Welsh. How are you keeping, fellas?
Evening, Peter.
Boys, we'll probably go through this team by team, but I'll give you guys the chance to interject first. Looking back on the past few weeks since it all wrapped up and David Jeffrey left, and that was kind of last things we're talking about, all the European places were settled, what do you feel is the thing that you'd be most surprised about if you were to go back a month and talk to ourselves during that last podcast going, here, you know what, this is going to happen? What has been the most surprising bit of news and info that's popped up?
I mean, it's probably got to be the Warren Point stuff, that whole fiasco as a whole, the whole redevelopment of the Premier Intermediate League. Not many people would have saw that coming. And I think it's come to sort of a reasonable enough solution. I don't think anybody will be too peeved at how it's ended up. Obviously, Warren Point won't be entirely happy, but looking at where they could have went, you know, back into Mid-Ulster football, I think they'll be happy enough with third tier for next year.
They looked into the pit of darkness, and they're more in a cave lacking light. For Joe, is it probably not something you'd be surprised about, but it's probably what I would have described a anxious moment has come true. Cliftonville have a new manager, and you weren't particularly buzzed about somebody that was supposed to get it, then they weren't going to get it, and then somebody else was supposed to get it, then they weren't getting it anymore, and then we went back to the same guy. The rumours were true is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think the whole, as you say, if you went back a month, if you just said about the amount of managers changing teams, that has been a whole surprise, even if you look at Roddy McRae and stuff as well. Obviously, last time I was on, you asked me who I would like, and I said Dean Shoes. And then it looked suddenly like the timing of him leaving, less than, what, 48 hours or whatever after he kept on going up, and I was buzzing. I thought, here we go, it's a prediction right as well. And then suddenly Jimmy Jilton was in, and I was going, well, what has happened there? I thought this had just fallen apart, but all of a sudden he was there. It was a bit confusing. It's been a weird time.
The whole Dean Shields thing, because yes, we are now living in a world where Dungannon are playing top flight football next season because they were able to hold off the party bus that was Anna United. Seemingly their little outing to Spain or whatever, their little post-season party, and then came back to play another game. Apparently that was a really great way to prep for a game because they were going into that second leg flying and with the advantage. Dungannon are able to crawl their way back. And yet after all that, a month's extension, everything that went into those delays, Dean Shields leaves the club and you're thinking, well, that's the first domino which is going to fall. And it was a domino to fall, but there was nothing in front of it. It was a completely different line because then that space was all of a sudden taken up by, for me, the most surprising news out of all this, Roddy McAree leaving one of the biggest clubs on this island, what could have been considered, perhaps not a dream job, but a job of high prestige, a full-time football role where he could really take the next step if he was going to move forward in his managerial career. But for a variety of reasons, one of them being a connection to home, a family connection to club, he returns to Dungannon Swifts, and then all of a sudden everything else starts moving around. And as I alluded to earlier on, Dean Shields is nowhere, and all of the seats have been filled. Very surprising.
Well, that just shows how much has happened in the month or so since the league ended, because I forgot that Rodney McRae had went to Dungannon, and that is actually probably the most shocking thing that's happened. And yeah, as you say, you think Dean Shields is going to go and spark everything. And yes, it did, but just in a totally different direction as to where you thought it was going to be. And then Dean Shields sort of left in the lurch now. Where's he going to go? There's no real jobs where he's thinking, oh, that could come up pretty soon. You know, there's talk of him going into the Northern Ireland women's setup, but like following his dad, but it doesn't look to be a job in Irish League for him anytime soon.
I'd like to know what his thoughts were. Like, what was his... It obviously left on mutual consent. And, like, was he thinking he was going to Clifton Vale? Because it seemed like it was too... The appointment of Jim came too soon after to make you think that. So, was it just he wasn't happy at Dungannon, things weren't working? Or did he think he was getting in somewhere and now he's just been left in the open?
I had heard musings somewhat in the middle of the season where things were slightly rocky. Glances elsewhere were happening, but ultimately Dungannon stuck. And perhaps that was a mutual bumpy road, let's just say that. For Dungannon to bring in like a club man, let's look at this from Dungannon's point of view. They have, after worrying that they could be sitting here and, you know, they could have finished 12th and be out of the league completely, they rode that speed bump that was Anna United. They split from Shields. They bring in a club hero and Roddy McAree, and they're delighted. I think their transfer business, which we'll get to, has been excellent in many ways. They know what went wrong last season, and they're taking really key steps to make sure that doesn't happen again. To follow that trail back up, that then leaves Glentoran, who had only just put Roddy McAree in that seat a couple of months ago, looking for a manager. The other surprising part of the Glentoran story is that someone would move from that role and take a step back for whatever reasons that they did. It's how quickly they were able to fulfill that role. And it was with ex-Linfield manager and ex-Ards manager Warren Feeney. That happened so quickly. Was it a day or maybe a day and a half or something? You rarely see clubs move that fast unless they were preparing for this news.
Yeah, you wonder where they're preparing, because obviously there was that photo of Roddy McAree that came out. He was wearing the Dungannon top on holiday, and obviously it's easy to look back at that with hindsight and say that was a clue. But you have to wonder then, did the Glens board maybe have a notion that this was going to happen? And then, you know, the board have come in for a lot of criticism, but fair play to them for at least having something lined up where they could get things done quickly. Whereas you see the opposite, that Clifton Vale took ages to get a manager in, therefore they couldn't sign any players. There was talk of, you know, it took a while to get friendlies arranged. So at least the Glens have someone in where they can get ready for next season whilst the Reds are sort of in the lurch.
I do my best here to try and give a neutral view on things, but I also need to report feelings, sentiments, what's going down. It would be an understatement to say that the reaction to Feeney's appointment has been negative. It has not been taken well, and even in the weeks now since the decision, fans haven't really warmed up the idea. Many people pointing to the way that his time at Linfield ended and a number of spells with a variety of different teams that, look, we're not following in great detail. Some of them in other countries, he was down in the lower leagues of England for a while, but they did not see Warren Feeney as a progressive, as someone that excited them, and they really believed that they wanted someone that perhaps had just a different outlook on football. And Warren Feeney's going into that job Look, Glentoran, I think, is probably one of the highest pressure jobs in the, probably is the most high pressure job, just due to probably the fan base and what they, how vocal they are and how demanding they are. He's coming in, and particularly with the success they've somewhat had over the past year, they've got Europe finally again. A lot of Glentoran fans don't think it's going to go well, and in many ways have committed themselves so much online to saying that it isn't going to go well, that it's going to take a lot for them to crawl back from the hyperbole that I've seen online. He is an ex-international footballer. He somewhat knows the Irish League. He's passionate, and this is a great opportunity. And we've seen plenty of times before where managers come in, they come in with not a whole big load of fanfare, the red carpet isn't out, and there's a lot for them to do, and they've succeeded. So, like all of these appointments, it's a wait and see. But he's got a big, big job.
Yeah, he certainly does. I think any manager coming in who's come from your rival, who was so like so passionate your rival as well, it's never a nice thing. You know, you're already on the back foot there. And then I don't think Glentoran fans are going to be looking at his CV in a particularly inspiring way. For someone like Feeney at the moment, he really needs to start well, because like we've been in the Oval when it's a toxic environment. It's not good. It's tough. You know, Mick suffered it. You saw the videos of people shouting at him from the side and waiting for him outside the stadium. All that could be there for him as well if he doesn't start well. So there's a lot of pressure on him. And as you said, it already is a high-pressure job, and that's going to make it even more difficult
for him. Was there anybody, if this was to go on for a couple of weeks, and as we've discussed in this podcast before, that there is somewhat of a consensus feeling is that you can't really come into the Irish League right now, or it's difficult to come into the Irish League without some sort of history or knowledge of it, particularly when it comes to recruitment. We talked about who could have filled the Ballymena job, but it wasn't really clear. Clearly, Cliftonville didn't have a long list of people they felt were legitimate options. Was there someone that might be on the tip of your tongue thinking they could have been the option? It feels like it was probably like maybe a Shields fitting in there, or maybe a David Jeffrey, which just seems bizarro world, really, if that was to happen. It's not like the real one, which I think Glentoran fans wanted. And it's one of these like things where people just think, well, that's going to happen eventually, kind of like prophecies in the Irish League. I think Glentoran fans wanted Gary Hamilton. And to be honest, I thought it was probably on the cards, in the sense of it would be a step up. Gary's been at Glenavon for over 10 years now. The last season had its definite ups, but it definitely had its lows. And perhaps the reality of the league with these full-time teams and the decline in Glenavon attendance, perhaps even Gary was like, I want to freshen things up. I want to take things to the next level. And actually, I would really prefer to not be trying to recruit from the little aisle that has yellow stickers on it. You know, maybe it would be nice to be handing out a four-figure weekly salary to the players that I think are great. That hasn't happened, but was definitely the name I think would have been, if there was going to be consensus, and there never is. I feel like Glentoran fans were like, oh, I really would have liked some Gary Hamilton this time round.
Yeah, I think that's what we were seeing on social media. A lot of Glen's fans were looking at, and for all the reasons you said there, it seemed like the more than obvious choice. You know, he's a good manager, and there's the argument to be made, has he taken that Glenavon team as far as he can? Possibly, but that's, you know, it's irrelevant now. It's a moot point, because I don't know if the Glens approached him and he said no, or if they just didn't approach him at all. But it seems like a strange one when you do have an experienced Irish League manager there that the majority of people think could take the step up, but they've went and dipped into the, you know, the lower leagues of English football and brought Warren Feeney home, even after, you know, he was a disaster at Linfield and he hasn't really set the world alight anywhere else he's went. But so, you know, it's a huge risk from the board, but is it maybe give Gary Hamilton another season at Glenavon and then there's your easy option if this goes wrong?
Let's crack the egg. Let's get into it. Jim Magilton is manager of Cliftonville after reportedly saying no, or it just wasn't going to come together. Perhaps the partnership with Jared Little was a stumbling block. And then all of a sudden, it looked like it was Chris Lindsay. And even quicker, it wasn't going to be Chris Lindsay. And then it was Jim Magilton once again. You've been able to sit with it. You've been able to let it percolate. Are you feeling positive, Joe, as a Red fan? Or are you still feeling, I need a bit of time here. I need to see something to make me feel as though this is going to work.
Yeah, I don't really know how I'm feeling because, I mean, Twitter was always, obviously very vocal before the appointment that this is absolutely not what we want. And then there was that wee bit of a saga of who are we actually getting now? There was names mentioned, then suddenly they said no, and suddenly the worked approach. Like I said earlier, Dean Sheens looked like he could have been the man. Then suddenly it was Jim. But then what followed there was a lot of rumors, which really did not help settle whatsoever. You started to hear a lot of things, people being let go and Ives off the lawn. And like that, at one point that was saying that was confirmed. And that certainly hasn't helped Jim at the start. Obviously, it's all come out now that that transfer was denied and Curran actually signed the contract extension. He wasn't let go. So it's a bit weird. I don't really know how to feel at the moment. I feel like if there was a few more signings and you could kind of see what he was trying to do, it would maybe help settle a wee bit. I think ultimately we're going to have to wait for the start. Similar to Glenn Thorne, it's going to have to see how he starts. If he starts well, I think he'll still take a wee bit of time to sort of settle the fans. But if he starts poor, you know, it's really not going to look good for him. There's going to be people not going to matches. There's going to be a horrible atmosphere when people are at the matches. So it's a bit too early for me at the moment to actually make a call on how I'm feeling. I'm still waiting it out before I make that decision.
Externally, and look, in all the press releases coming out, you don't see Jim Magilton's name as manager without Little's name being connected to it as well as a part of the team. Clearly, this is somewhat of a pair that's come in. Clearly, Jared Little has history, former Reds boss. I spent a bit of time in the League of Ireland, then back up working within the Northern Ireland junior setup, and look, he had success there. Is he going to have to do a bit of mending some fences with Reds fans, or is that a wee bit blown out of proportion externally?
I don't know. I think Ross raised the point last time we were on. I think the main point to him is the Irish League experience. You know, that's obviously not what Jim has as a manager. So he's, like you were saying about it there, how vital that really is in this league. So I think that's the main reason he's there. I certainly think that is an aspect that he could sort of mend fences a wee bit and sort of settle fans. But I don't think that was I don't think he was brought in the sense of people aren't going to like Jim, but we'll bring him alongside too, and that will sort of settle things. I don't think that was the plan, but I think it certainly is like a nice positive for them if it goes well.
I know it's hard at this time of the season where you're kind of looking around and you see a lot of teams doing some quick business, and then everybody's looking around expecting what's happening with me. And if we were to stay on this little Cliftonville section now, you look at the lists of ins and outs. Yes, you've been without a manager for a number of weeks, and you didn't have a manager who's going to stick around for the last couple of weeks or months of the season. So it's not like there is an action plan, which you've probably seen at other clubs, where it's just a case of get past this date and, you know, it's like Football Manager, confirm, 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 like you've done all the work already. Cliftonville are going to come into this season with, we need to improve. A big part of that is going to be, of course, the way that the manager and their team set themselves up. But clearly recruitment's a big part of that. And when you look at Cliftonville and all you see is, well, Colin Coates moving on, Doherty moving on, and Trainer moving on, and nothing in. Yes, you've had the odd contract renewal, but we are here in late June and pre-season friendlies are coming around pretty quick. Clearly you have a good team, there's no denying that, but I'm sure if I was speaking to you 6 weeks ago, you're like, get into the summer and start improving this team, and that hasn't happened yet. Are you feeling slightly nervous on that front, on the recruitment side?
100%, absolutely, especially when you are looking around, like teams like, I mean, Glen Torren have done a few things and Linfield have done one or two things and stuff as well. They're good signings that they've made. And then there's other teams lower in the league who are making loads of signings. When we're sitting here with no wins, and the new manager, it is worrying because he's coming in and he's taking on someone else's team, which is never, it's never an easy thing to do. Now, as you said, it's a very good team that's there, but he's going to have to get in and settle players down, get them on side. I think that's easier to do if you're bringing in a few leaders of your own, almost people that you can trust, people who are on your side to then get into the team and inspire the rest of the team. That's what I would have expected to have already been done. The second Jim comes in, it's right, let's go get these signings quickly, let's get them settled, and let's have a pre-season, which that's another issue. I mean, how long, like, what is even happening there? Like, how long that was taking to get anything sort of? It seems like we're like shooting ourselves in the foot. Like, why was it so long to get a manager sorted? We knew we were going to need one this season. That should have already been sort of arranged coming in. Should have been basically the second season ended. Here it is. This is what we have. And then here's our main key signings that we feel like we need. But to be sitting here with, as you say, contract extensions, which is, you know, it's fair enough. Current staying on is great, but I think we need more players in. I think that's obvious.
I will let you deal with all those feelings that I clearly see that you are sharing with the group right now, and turn to Ross and his beloved Linfield. Talking about contracts, David Haley, he signed the new one. It could be your manager for a long time, and he is making plans for the future. What could have been one of the big transfer sagas was wrapped up pretty quickly. They got their man. They got their main striker. Fitzy is a Blue. And in the end, it doesn't look as though that you paid. Well, we know you didn't pay that 100 grand that was being mooted. Do you feel as though, as much as that this isn't your money and ultimately transfer money is kind of fantasy cast to us fans, but do you feel as though right man, right price going in the next year?
I'm chuffed with that signing. I mean, the problem last year was E2 was bullying the smaller teams, banging in plenty of goals. But then when it came to the bigger teams, he just wasn't cutting the mustard. But then Fitzpatrick, that doesn't seem to be a problem at all. We know Glenavon liked to take a scalp last year, but he's got a great record against that top six. And that was ultimately Linfield's downfall last year, couldn't win against the teams around us. So I think that's a great signing and a great one to start with. And then now that Haley's extended as well, if there is a talk of a rebuild happening, he seems to fancy the task of taking it on himself.
And with that, you secure the player which every Blues fan seemed to love, Finlayson. He's there now full time. You bring in a couple of rolls of the dice when it comes. We always see a few of these every year. You bring in Jack Scott from Wolves. You've got the striker John Robertson from FC Edinburgh. Good story, bro. But of course, you lose a couple of guys, a couple of keystones over the past few years. Was very much expected. You lose Callagher. That guy, Cal Lafferty, whatever happened to him, he's gone. Cammy Palmer's gone. Niall Quinn's moved on. Sam Roscoe as well as E2. E2 didn't stick around. So this is going to be a very different Linfield team going in to next season. As well as that, like, Haygarth sticking around for another year. This Linfield team doesn't seem like it's completely set in stone. A few things, I'm sure, a few moving pieces still yet to be added. If there was a priority list for you that you'd like to be slipping under David Healy's door, what position and what area, what are Linfield crying out for right now going into pre-season in Europe?
I think that's still like another centre half to come in, because, you know, Callagher and Roscoe, that's maybe your starting two centre backs last year. Callagher, for just what he was around the club, you know, that's a huge loss. And you know, Newbury comes in and he's fine, but it's whether he can do it week on week. And you know, Jack Scott, he was on loan in the League of Ireland last year, and from what I've seen, he wasn't great. But you know, Wolves obviously aren't going to keep on any mugs to that age, so you know, he's bound to have something about him. But I would like to just get a bit of proven Irish League talent in there, just to be alongside whoever does play out of Scott and Newbury.
Go on, if you had to pick anybody, I know you want to pick like the best one, but is there anybody floating around where you're like, oh, I like the look of insert player here, that you just like to scoop up, stick the arm around and give him a blue shirt?
I think all of the quality centre halves in the Irish League are so closely like knit with their club that Healy is going to have to go either down south or across the water to GB to find someone. You know, if the Jack Scott move works out, that's brilliant, and then it's good to dip into that market again. But you're going to probably have to pay big money because clubs will be looking at and thinking, right, Linfield have already spent this money off its Patrick, so they clearly have a bit of a budget. Let's force their hand and make them pay a bit more. Bit of an Irish League tax going on.
You are right, actually. You kind of sit there and think there's not a whole load of young centre-backs throughout the league, and particularly in the bottom six where you're probably going to be fishing, looking for. You wouldn't pick out and go, wow, that's a team that has a real quality centre-back that's ready to step up. The one was probably Farquhar, which is already being snapped up by Lauren when it comes to potential. So things looking better for Linfield. They'll not be looking better because I think that's an absolutely ropey home kit. Have you been warming up to that? The red sleeves? Very surprising.
It's just too much red. I think if you add a bit of white in there, then
it's too much red. It's just too much red. It's too much.
Yeah, I don't mind the away kit, but yeah, the home kit, I don't know if I'll be splashing out on that.
Yeah, I think if it was white, you know, kind of like a bluey version of Arsenal, I think it would have been cool with a wee touch. But look, it's one of those things. We'll be won over by it eventually. And here, I'm sure we'll jump through kits. Cliftonville changed their home kit. It's red.
No, that's it. That's at least we've got one positive so far.
Red shorts, is that confirmed for the year? That'd be weird if you play. I know Poor Downs out of the league, but you don't have to kind of go for their whole
take over Poor Downs spot. I actually don't know if that's confirmed. I don't mind it, you know. I quite like it.
Well, can I just say, everybody on social media is saying it's a lovely kit. I personally don't like it.
I agree. It's fine. It's totally fine. I can't.
Too much red, Ross, is it?
Well, it is once again too much red. Yeah, but I find it so boring.
Too much. Shocking. Well, let's just bounce into a team who are going to have to deal with a couple of big players leaving themselves. No real word of a fee here, but I haven't seen it anywhere. Terry Devlin finally got that move away to Portsmouth. That's really exciting for him. We all had the whole Plum retirement tour there a few weeks ago. Malky Smith moves on to Crusaders. For Glentoran, like, we're still looking at Connor Mack could move on elsewhere. You know, is Junior signed on long? It's a team where, until I start seeing the European games, I can't really tell who's sticking around and what needs done, who's going to stick around. Look, they've got a solid team, but losing Devlin is going to be significant, and he really found himself in that team, particularly near the end of the season. Perhaps all it needs is Warren Feeney to work his magic and it'll be fine, but I'm surprised that I'm not looking at Barr Kelly like a couple of big marquee signings for Glentoran and through the door.
Yeah, as you say, Devlin out's a huge loss, and I think now is the time for McManaman. I think it kind of feels like a bit of an hour and ever. I think for him anyway, he probably needs to go now. If they lose him as well, right, that's two huge losses for them. And again, maybe their fans are sitting thinking the same as Cliftonville. Why are we not signing more players? Now, the Burns signing the contract extension is huge. That's great for them, but you feel like they need more. You know, Josh Kelly obviously coming in, but I feel like they need a few more signings.
I kind of said it could have been the meltiest kind of transfer saga of the summer on Twitter. Like, this whole Bobby Burns, is he going to sign for Glentoran again? Is he going to go to Linfield? Is he going to leave? And the reason why I described it as the meltiest is because, I don't know if you noticed this on Twitter, but it felt as though all Glentoran and Linfield fans were like, they didn't want to talk about it, but if they did, they equally wanted to say that we would absolutely love him and it'd be amazing, but also if he doesn't sign for us, he's crap and I don't want to listen to him or see him ever again. It's like, nobody wanted to admit that they fancied him just in case he went for the other team. So I'm glad that other teams, like that could have, like back and forth arguments kind of over. He said he had a discussion with Ali Poor about the future of the club. That really convinced him. I'm sure other things helped convince him. Understand the project there. Congratulations if that man got a big bag connected to his big contract. So yeah, key player, but I think every season you want to freshen things up, and I'm sure they will, but where they come from might be not really clear to all of us. If we're talking about, at least from my point of view, teams who I just love their recruitment so far, top of the list has to be Crusaders. I just love it. There's no big, like, McMenamin style, like, oh my goodness, or Fitzpatrick, you've bought one of the best players in the league. But to bring in, you know, Callagher to somewhat solidify the defense, bring in James Thielen, you know, Marky Smith's really solid, you know, is it Mikhail Kennedy, like, from Durgview, young player, scored a bag of goals in the championship. He could be this person that could just come off the bench and be a real key squad player, definitely a top flight footballer in this league. Bring in Lloyd Anderson from Carrick, again, continues to develop under Baxter, who really gets a lot of great stuff. You know, he can really develop players. Like I said, there's no big best player in the league going to CVU, but that was a team that needed bodies in a lot of positions, and I think they've got it, and they've also been able to snag some players with great, great potential.
Yeah, at the start of summer, like, it seemed like that Crusaders transfer incoming handshake picture was on my Twitter feed at least three times a day. Like, the amount of people they've brought in is crazy. And then on top of all those signings, you know, Ben Kennedy scored for them in a friendly last night. You know, he's going to be, not to use the cliche, he's going to be like a new signing.
It's going to feel like a new signing, yep.
he really is. And you're sort of having sideways glances at Crusaders thinking, are they a dark horse? If they could sort their away form out this year, then there's no reason why they couldn't be up around the title race.
Yeah, it's kind of worrying to see from my point of view, because it's a great transfer window of both experience and thinking about the future. It just looks great for them. I'm sure if you're a Crusaders fan sitting now, you're thinking, I'm loving this so far, this is brilliant.
For sure. They do lose Guy Thompson, who struggled with injury at times. You know, Chris Hegarty moves on to the Swifts. You know, they're kind of the key players that they lose. But, you know, they even bring in, you know, Jordan Williamson as, you know, backup goalie. So overall, I just think that's a team that, look, it might not result in automatic fireworks, but you could see maybe 2-3 years down the line going, you know, they got some real key players this transfer window. Let's return to Dungannon and look at the job that they've done. Like, it looks so tough for them. A month behind everybody else, not quite sure who was even available to play in that game. Obviously, they changed their manager. So they were kind of behind everybody else, not knowing what league they were going to be in. They move on from Bruna, Coyle, Mays, McCready, Ruddy, and Mark Walsh all leave. And there's a couple of players with great experience, some brilliant talent. But to kind of restart things again, they bring in Connor Mitchell from, you know, the Warren Point story, which you touched upon at the top of the show. That was probably 80% a top flight team for me, squad wise. And it felt as though it could be picked apart as soon as it was confirmed that they were going to be in the PIL. That is now happening, and one of the teams that is benefiting from that right now is Dungannon Swifts. Young keeper and Connor Mitchell, that might not look good for Dunn, or perhaps they're going to have a battle, see who sticks around. They bring in experience with Hegarty from Crusaders. That's really strong. And then I just kind of love Keelan Dillon. I just think that is, you know, a key player for Warren Point. He was the captain for them, was like such an important player in the midfield for them for a couple of years, top flight. That was an area looking in Dungannon thinking they need perhaps a bit more diamondism in there. They've kept on to Knowles, who I really like as well. They've still got a few questions up top. You know, is Rhys Campbell going to stick around? Is Darren McBreen going to come back at all? But with them being behind the eight ball, bottom six side, I kind of like the players they're bringing in. Lots of experience. Safe bets, I think.
Yeah, I love the Connor Mitchell sign himself. I think that's a great shout from them. It's easy to look back and say, Dean Shields was doing this wrong, he's doing that wrong, but they've never really looked great. You know, the COVID year, they should have went down, but there was no relegation. They're no strangers to the relegation playoffs. You know, it's almost as if they need this big upheaval with people going in and out to sort of steady the ship in a way. And Chris Hegarty, that's another great signing. James Knowles will probably become captain now after Mays is gone. I think they've done real solid business and they've acted fast. And you know, you touch on Decky Dunn. You know, if he finds himself number two, if only there was another team in the league that he used to play for, they're crying out for a goalkeeper. That would be handy enough. But
you've literally just taken my point there, Ross. I was just about to say that.
Joe, you pick up the call to the Swifts, eh?
Yeah, well, I think it's been great as well. Like, Warren Point, I think they probably knew they were going to get picked apart with all the whole saga that was going on. They knew if they weren't going to go up, that they were going to lose a few key players. And Dungannon seemed to be the team that have really gone there and have done the business. And I think they're all great signings so far. It's exactly what a new manager should be doing, go in and get players that sort of put his stamp on the new team.
So sticking down in the bottom six, we kind of talk about transfers that just absolutely make sense. Niall Quinn, the Glenavon. Like, I feel like I should have put a bet on that, really. Ex-Linfield player, been there for years, going to Glenavon for one last hurrah. Yeah, it's sold enough for them.
Yeah, good move. Sad to see him go from Linfield. Good squad player, scored an important goal at the tail end of the season against Coleraine there. And yeah, it's a great bit of business from Gary Hamilton to get him in. He'd probably not be happy sitting on the bench at Linfield, and that didn't look to be changing anytime soon. So if he can go there and he's got plenty left in the tank and, you know, Glenavon, get them back to being a good cup team, you maybe pick up some silverware.
Key thing, still no striker there to replace Fitzpatrick. Like, I didn't say it earlier on, but I think where Fitzpatrick will really come key for Linfield is actually those big games. He does have the ability, and I wonder if this will change up Healy's way of playing. He is a striker that, one, can get into the ball in the box, but he can really expand the play. He can run into those channels. The amount of time he was picking up the ball in the channels and making things work around him. And if you do have the likes of Cooper, like, they're really going to benefit from that. So I do worry for Glenavon how they're not only going to replicate the goals, but replicate his play. Yes, he's not the type of person that's getting five players. Yes, he's probably closer to Robbie Fowler than he is to young Michael Owen, but his play was probably underrated and was a big-time player in big moments. Glenavon, you know, I don't know who's sitting around, maybe a James McLaughlin, but I'm sure they wouldn't be buzzing about that. He's at the tail end of his career. Could Andy Mitchell return? Maybe saying his time at Coleraine was to be over, but again, he barely played. Did he play at all last season for them? You know, he's struggling with injuries. So if we're talking about top of teams' lists, and I'm sure striker is at the top of many teams' lists, but Glenavon will be looking towards the forward end of the pitch. They also bring in Stephen Teggart from Portadown. So, yeah. You never know, maybe Mark Walsh ends up there from Dungannon. I'm really interested. I think he's like a nippy, speedy player. And in a league that maybe doesn't play a lot of wingers or wide forwards in a lot of teams down near the bottom, it's interesting to see where he will end up. One player that I kind of expect, we talked about the Poinsettias or the Exodus from Warren Point. I made a list of all the, you know, players I really like from that team. Luke Wade-Slater is definitely high on that list, and it feels like those two have been paired together for a couple of seasons, perhaps. Maybe this is the time where it actually happens.
Yeah, I was surprised Glenavon never went in for McMurray. Maybe they did, and he's obviously got that Ballymena connection. But with the Fitzpatrick money coming in, that seems like a bit of a no-brainer to go for him. But it feels like with Glenavon, they always sort of find a way. They'll find a rough gem, and he turns into the best thing since sliced bread from Gary Hamilton.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, you kind of look at other ones who are somewhat floating. You know, maybe a Cahir Frail if he decides to move on. I'm taking a lot of players with Coleraine. I guess they have just stockpiled all these kind of decent strikers, and perhaps they just need to change it up, or they'll stick around. So, yeah, Glenavon, interesting to see how that all comes together, but I'm sure their fans will want maybe just a few extra bodies to freshen up. That is still a young squad, so has a lot of potential to progress. We'll go with Ballymena just because you mentioned that they were able to get McMurray. He was probably one of the real prized assets that Warren Point had. He was a striker. He was playing for a full-time team in Crusaders at the start of last season. He commanded a fee. So all the talk of Ballymena are going to find it tough. There's going to be an exodus themselves. They've made a commitment, and I kind of understand that. If you are to make bigger but fewer gambles, perhaps Johnny McMurray fits in that. He's going to be our man, and we're going to strap the rocket to him and see what happens. They also welcome in Colin Coates to give a bit of experience and shore up the back. And as well as that, they found their man. It was very much talked about. Jim Irvin's in. We know nothing about what he'll do or how it'll all come together, but he has an experienced enough back team. We haven't seen a whole lot recently, but maybe over the past 10 years, we've seen a number of top Irish League pros come in, take on their first job, and not always hit the ground running, but from King to Hamilton to a few others, this is as safe a bet, I think, as you can have. He was an excellent pro, and he comes in with a lot of experience, and he doesn't come in with the easiest job on his hands, but he's been at the club, knows a bit about the place. It's one of the more unknowns that we have in the league going into the next season.
Yeah, I think Ballymena needed a complete sort of, like, they kind of need to go for a risk almost. First off, I don't know what was out there that was the safe option. I don't think that existed, but it's clear that Jeffrey was a good manager, but it just was not working at the end. So it felt like it's not so much it's just the manager. It just felt like a lot of things needed to change. So I think, like, the risk of manager, I quite like it. He's going to be liked by the fans, obviously, already. Like, it's nice going into a club where there is already, you know, the place, as you say. And I like the signings as well. I think they're good signings. Coach coming in, you've got Craig going out the door, which is a big loss, but you've got experience coming in. I would have kept him for at least another year. He's obviously 37 or whatever now. But I would have kept him for at least this year down at Cliftonville. I think he's a great player. Great to have around the club. So I think it's a great signer for Ballymena. It'd be interesting to see what way it plays out. I think Ballymena fans will probably, I don't know how low of expectations you can set, but I don't think they're expected to go in and be right back to, you know, competing way at the top, obviously, nothing like that. But it'd be good to see what way it ends up for them.
I think everyone's coming round to the idea that their aim next season is to stay up. And we're saying that because if it doesn't go well, they'll be battling. And if it goes well, then it's kind of chill. Look, you know, we talk about teams that are lacking strikers. So far, that's one thing that Ballymena don't need to worry about. They have, at least for now, McDade. You know, they have Jordan Gibson, who can play up top there as well. So, you know, bringing in McMurray, is that a sign one of those guys are going to move on? Perhaps. You see the players that are out. Farquhar, that's a disappointing, I guess, you know, in this world where you have full-time teams, that's what's going to happen. Young players that you have potential with, you will lose them when they see full-time football. That's frustrating. That will happen. And I'm sure they would have loved another season to perhaps then cash in big time next season if he was to progress in the same way that his trajectory showed that he might be going on. And then they lose experience with Redmond Williamson, who had found himself back in the starting 11 again by the end of the season, and then Dougie Wilson, who left on a fee, I believe. So some tinkering, again, until I start seeing friendlies and who stills to go and come, it's hard to see where they are, but I don't think they ended last season in a particularly good place. And if Jim Irvin can take the same team and make it so that they're not struggling at the bottom, then that would be a brilliant start for him. Corain did a lot of business last year. So far, not a lot. James McLaughlin moves on. But they do bring in Graham Kelly. Like this. Guy wasn't getting a lot of football at Larne in those kind of wide wing-back positions. Really solid player. got a lot of energy, and I think given a starting berth, he will become a real top quality, solid top six player. I think that's a really good signing. Perhaps not filled with fireworks, but when you're sitting there in October or February, he's the type of player where you're like, I'm so glad we have him rather than somebody else. So that's I think that's a really good top six signing. And then going down, who have we not hit? Carrick. Now tell me now, is this just not one of the most Carrick signings ever? Albert Watson. That's so Carrick! They know who they are.
He will go down there and he will be a cult hero just straight away. Like you could picture him getting at least 5 goals, just getting that big loaf on a few corners, and then he's just going to make them so solid at the back. All that experience, like it's a brilliant signing, a really good piece of business.
I think he's going to score 3 goals in the first 5 games of the season, and everybody's going to be like, he's one of the best signings of the season, and then he'll score nothing the rest of the year. Really, really easy to see where he, you know, he's the Jim Irvine replacement, toots him down to the ground, and look, he won the title with Lauren. Happy days. He is no spring chicken, but clearly Carrick are able to get the best out of players and are able to find players of this ilk who've been at the top of the league, who are in the twilight of their career, and they're able to find ones that are motivated, which is the hardest part. So, yeah. A very Carrick signing, but they do lose Jim Irvine and of course Lloyd Anderson as well, as we talked about. I know for me, okay, we'll wrap it up with these ones here. Lorne, they get in Craig Farquhar again, super solid. We'll look back at this in 6 months, 18 months time, going, they just got their like one of their centre backs for the next 5 years. Brilliant signing, get them now. Ali Omar has been announced from Torquay in the past few days. I know nothing. But the key one that they are losing that experience in Watson, you know, that was, he was a nice bit piece player for them. And of course, he hasn't found a club just yet. But a player that all us football hipsters like to say is one of the best players in the league. And he is. Fatsule, big loss. And I don't know if you can really replace him with anybody. It'll just be about trying to figure out ways to kind of make up for all his tackling and tenacity that he had in the middle of the park.
Yeah, it's a huge loss. I mean, don't get Ross started on him though. He's still bringing up a tackle that he put in on what do you call him? Who was it, Ross? In the cup final?
Jordan Stewart. We suck it.
Oh yeah, Jordan Stewart. Yeah, suck it. There's still need every time Sule's brought up. But it's a huge loss. I don't know how you replace someone like that. He was so good, like he was absolutely everywhere, just such an engine on him, and the tackles every time were absolutely superb, and he really spurred a team on every time. When he made one of those tackles, it sort of lifted the whole team. He'd get the ball moving straight away and they were straight back on the counter-attack. So they have to bring someone in for there, because you can't go on and play the same way you did last season without a sort of talisman like that.
Particularly in Europe, he'll be a big loss in that game. The way, underrated, the way he'd be able to progress the ball as well. Underrated crosser. We can all talk about him being this tough tackling DM, but actually he played in a couple of great balls and just added that extra bit of pressure that sometimes goes unnoticed. Other players are intercepting balls or are able to tackle a player because of the pressure and his positioning. So, look, a great player, going to move on, and all the best to him. Lockall's best bit of transfer business is pretty much being able to hold on a majority of their team that they've got. Are you all ready for a brand new trope that I will really try not to bring up every single time in this podcast next season? But I do believe Lockall are going to go into this league and not be famous. This could be my Ballymena moment for this year, but I do not think they'll be the whipping boys. They go into this league having scored more goals and conceded less goals than Urie did last season. So that says to me, they're doing a similar thing to Urie in that they are keeping the nucleus, pretty much everything, you know, the roof and all of this squad. So they're definitely less experienced of a squad and perhaps lack something a bit extra up top. But I think Lockall bring Alberto Balde, see how that works for them. They bring in Orm Brogan from Dervview, a young player, not going to pretend I know a lot about him, but they're going to come in with a whole load of energy. So you better stand out and watch out. And a team I really think you're going to have to watch out for, if it isn't all the moves that Crusaders did, I love so much about what Newry's done. I think it's just great. Yes, they lose James Thielen. Dale Montgomery goes to Portadown. Declan Carville moves on as well. As much as he wasn't contributing as much as he had the previous season. McGovern is going to be out until Christmas, potentially, I believe. Like, he may be injured for a couple of months. I don't know. Maybe he'll be back at the start of the season, but that's not great. They move on manager, and you're thinking, oh, this is going to be a big job for Gary Boyle. Liam Bagnall in. Barney McKeown from Portadown. Kieran O'Connor's in. You have Michael O'Connor from Glenavon to be a bit of, will he play? Maybe not. He's going to be assistant manager. I really love Adam Carroll. Another point of this, points to this. Like, he is a young player, ex Linfield, did decent for Anna the season before, scored like 10 goals, I think, for Warren Point last year. You know, a really solid player, and his best football's ahead of them. And then you bring in Adam Sally, who scored bucket loads of goals. They need someone to replace those 10 goals that James Thielen, you're losing with him. He hasn't always lit the league on fire at this level, but that's a great sign in Adam Sally. That's just, here we go. Like, some of those players, I could almost see them swapping places with Ballymena. They could be sitting pretty and doing a bit of a Carrick next year.
Yeah, I think Sally's one of the best signings any team's made. You know, he's going to bang in goals for fun. I think he'll get more than 10. You know, Newry, I think they could have only dreamt of coming 10th last year, avoiding the playoff, and they're building on that wave. You know, obviously, they have a lot of outgoings, and McGovern is injured, but Sally can wait, and I'm sure he'll get a bit of service at some point.
That's the only thing that's concerning. So much of Newry's, for me, what I liked about them was their ability out wide. They've lost a lot of that, and that's not easy to replace, but you adapt and you bring in a different player. I think Adam Sally's going to, you know, you could see what happens when they change things up top. And look, it might not work out all the time, but I think Adam Sally, after that year in the championship, he'll have a load of confidence. And I just feel everything I see from Newry, they're bringing in experience. They're bringing in a bit of guile. I love the Barney McKeown signing. I think that's a huge loss of Portadown. You know, we saw some of the big Portadown games last year, and you'd have to say at a young player in his, I think maybe 22, 23, centre back, battling is, you know, his MO, dogged. That's exactly what they need. I don't know where he'll play, midfield or defence, but absolutely love that for them. And a lot of people have been asking me, like, what am I going to do about Portadown? I think you guys would probably reflect a bit with me. We're both in this Northern Irish kind of media circle when it comes to the Irish League. And I feel like I have a lot of Portadown fans who listen to this podcast. And as much as I'm not going to be falling a blow for blow in the championship next season, I still feel I'll touch them. Like, they're that big. So, you know, let's talk a bit about them. And look, I'll get the list up. Niall Curry's doing Niall Curry things. They lose about 60 players and they've brought in 85. The official ones they've brought in is Aaron Hogg. Looks like he's going to be their goalkeeper from Point. Ross Redmond returns, bit of experience at the back. Keelan Coyle from the Swifts. Ryan Mays from the Swifts, bit of experience, you know, a bit of attacking flair. Maybe that's like the Joss Archer replacement. Gary Thompson could probably play anywhere across defence and midfield. People are saying that he's going to keep up. Is Curry going to play five at the back? Don't know. And then Dougie Wilson goes with a bit of a fee. Like, clearly. And you also have Alan O'Sullivan return to the club as well. McIlroy signed a big deal before the end of the season. So, is it as strong as last season? Maybe. They've got a lot of experience rather than like young players who could progress on. But it's like probably the strongest team the championship's seen since Lauren in 18.
Been absolutely great business for him. You saw him after the interview he did after the Dungannon game back towards the end of the season. He was angry. He was calling out players and stuff. He was not happy at all with the team. But then he's gone and just backed up exactly what he said. He's made great signings. I love, like, how he's got some of the players that not only commit and stay at Portadown, but some of the players that he's brought down with him, he's clearly, there's obviously a positive sort of atmosphere around that club at the moment. There's a lot of belief that, yeah, we're down in the championship now, but we're going straight back up. I would say it is. I would certainly say among the players with him there, I mean, look, here, I'm inspired when I watch his TikTok, so I can only imagine what they get in the change room with him.
Look, well done, Portadown. Clearly, you're investing in this team. You don't invest that with magics and dreams and roundabouts. There you go. All the best, Portadown. We'll talk about you, because if last season's anything to go by, you'll be making headlines and stories regardless. So a bit of housekeeping there. We talked about it. Swift's playing top flight football in the end. They get rid of, they dispatch Anna. I don't think Anna were really ready to play top tier football, but they're getting a few signings well. They bring in Lee Upton. They bring in Ryan Swan from Warren Point. Liked him. Decent enough player in the Premier League a few years ago. Upton, yeah, Carville as well from the Swifts. We also have this brand new PAL. It's amazing. It shows you Niffl can move quick if they want to. I don't know where they got this 14-team idea, where that come from, but they got it. So Warren Point nestled in there. A few more cow sheds for them to play in next year. And with that expanded league, you keep the PSNI. And there was three teams that had to be brought down to two, with a wee round-robin playoff in the 60 leagues that make up below the PAL. In the end, Lurgan's Oxford Sunnyside did not make it through, and Coke United and Rathryland, potentially Rangers, but Rathryland, bit of debate, they are now PAL teams. Coke United are PAL again. I don't believe Rathryland ever have. That'll be fun. That'll be interesting. Adding a few new teams, extra flavours into the pot.
Yeah, it's good. A few new spots to visit. The only shame is I think they're doing away with the split, going up to 14 teams. So, you know, it didn't really matter at the end of last year, but it's a shame because I think the split's one of the best things about the Irish League pyramid. But that's a shame. But yeah, that's going to be a tough division to get out of next year. You know, Warren Point are obviously going to want to go straight back up. Balmacash will be disappointed not to go up this year. Queens will want to be up around there again. Moyola, a wee bit of money coming in, I've heard. So that's going to be a competitive league. Certainly one to keep an eye on.
That feels like it's going to be a lot more competitive than what the championship might be. You're absolutely right. Reflecting on Ballymacash couldn't get past Knockbreda. I saw Knockbreda twice last season, and when they turned up, they had a solid defence and a bit of nippy attacking play, and in the end they were able to hold off a Ballymacash team. Look, waiting for an extra month probably didn't help any of those teams, and that felt like a bit of a shootout, and in the end Knockbreda won out, which I think to some people surprised. So that makes it a lot hard. Like, Warren Point are pretty much rebuilding their team, so I don't think they're going in as absolute mega favourites. You know, perhaps a more solid team, a more solidified team in Ballymacash or Queens or teams like that might have a better start of the season. That means that the only team that comes up is Bangor, kind of an interesting league there in the championship. Outside of that, like I said, Warren Point, they're there. They failed there. I feel like it was ages ago, but they obviously failed in all of their reviews, and they had to stick with what they had. And then we'll briefly talk about it. I know not everybody follows them, but Northern Ireland come out of their games away to Denmark and at home to Kazakhstan with 0 points and almost as many positives. I feel like I could talk with more authority about the Kazakhstan game, but look, they go to away to Denmark knowing that it's a bit of a free hit. A draw would have been great, and I was so close for that decision at the end. You know, it felt like Denmark were just like shooting from everywhere trying to score a goal. They eventually sneak one in, and then going to Windsor Park, really a big game if Northern Ireland was to have any hope of progressing through this. Realistically, they needed not even a result, needed a win, and they pretty much shoot themselves in the foot. This is a young team that's fairly inexperienced, mixed with players who are almost at the end of their Northern Ireland career. But that was a tough watch on Monday, I felt.
Yeah, it was pretty hard going. I've seen people saying it's like when Luxembourg beat us in 2013, was it? I don't think it's quite that bad, but yeah, it was pretty grim viewing. I think this campaign, it's a pretty favourable group. I think it's just come a couple of years too early for this group of players, and we're now left with nothing really to play for. We would have to be perfect in all the rest of our games to sort of have a chance, but going off what we've seen so far, you know, Denmark are obviously no pushovers. Kazakhstan away is not an easy game. And then, you know, Finland have already beat us at home, and Slovenia are no slouches either. So it's obviously early to be throwing the towel in, but it looks like this was just one or two campaigns too early for this group.
I think what's also a bit frustrating is like that Finland game, take out the result, obviously it didn't feel like the worst in terms of, it felt like there was something in that game for us. The Denmark game was the same. I mean, if it's offside, it's offside. A 5-minute review for VAR seems a bit ridiculous. But then that game, I mean, I'm in Spain at the moment. I was raging not to be at that game, the Kazakhstan game. But then that goal went in at the end. I could only imagine what that atmosphere was like. It must have just been horrible walking out of that stadium after. It must have just been so frustrating.
I almost laughed. I have to admit, I just was like, what is this?
Yeah, I mean, I laughed at the bar over here. Like,
you know, it'd be sad if it wasn't so funny. Like, maybe this, like, in many ways, I kind of reflected. I was like, is this what it felt like to be all those teams that got beat by us, like, over the past 10, 15 years? Is this what it's like being like, how is this team beat us? They were not very good. We gave them, you know, they had like two or three like good chances. Like, they had barely any chances, bar two or three ones, which we gifted them and made them look good. I really liked Trey Hume on the right. So much of what was going on, it just felt as though they were one pass away, or someone wasn't willing to make that pass, didn't want to make that mistake, didn't want to be the player that gave the ball away, even though it was probably better just to give it a go. See if we can get that, because that ball gets played and Trey Hume's on the right side of it and he's got pretty much the whole box in front of him, that's where a goal was going to come from. I was so frustrated with the amount of passing back. It was like the amount of times it felt like it came from a corner, a midfield player had it, you're going to fart in the box, you're going to put it out to the other line and try and build up from there. And it was like, I know, going to pass it back to the centre-back. And then the centre-back's like, I know what I'll do. I'll pass it back to Peacock Farrell. And then it's all over. The pressure's over and you're starting from all over. Loved Big Charles in the middle. He is strong. He's progressive. He was the one that was able to take the ball on and try and run at the midfield. Nobody else was running at their midfield. It was all trying to slip in a wing back, and we weren't getting much on the left hand side. And it was amazing to see, I'll say this, it was amazing to see Conor McManaman there. Every time you saw, it's funny because we see him week in and week out, we see all the highlights, and we know he does this thing where he comes in, dips onto the left boot, and whips it in. And it's amazing to just go, he's going to do that. Oh my goodness, he nearly scored from that. Like, it's incredible. It shows the skill and ability that he actually does have, that he is able to take his game to the next level. Yes, it's not against Italy and Spain and Germany and everybody else, but he did not look out of place there at all, and it looked, and particularly for the last 15-20 minutes, our best creator.
I've been saying from he first got brought into the squad, he's been our, maybe not our best player, but he's definitely the most exciting to watch. He seems to be one of the only ones who will just get the ball down and run at a man. And as you said, that was criminally lacking. And I think it's also a shame. I don't think Bonus was in the squad for either of the games. I don't know if he has a knock or anything. But he would have provided something a little bit different up top. It felt like Deion Charles was sort of getting bullied a wee bit. Shane Lavery not quite fully fit. I feel like he would have provided something. And then it was an option that it's a head the aim at with one of those terrible set pieces that we had on Monday night.
Oh, I know. The price set pieces just got... It started awful. It got okay, and then it became grim again. And look, maybe someone with McGuinness's height could have, you know, added a bit more up there. Amount of times they got the ball, and you're like, please do not cross that in, you know? So we were looking like for a very specific type of goal, and ultimately that never came. And then I don't know what to say about the goal that was conceded. I felt like I was just shouting the TV going, close down, close down, close. just foul the man, like, you know, just take him out, like, come on here, like, it just, it's tough going, but I do not want to get on to Michael O'Neill's case, because this is a half cooked team, this is half baked, and this team needs a lot of work, and it doesn't, I just don't know, and maybe it's what you've got. It just felt as though that five at the back, particularly against a team that we were better than, we didn't need that defensive stability in the end. We didn't seem to have it when they were breaking, and then we had nothing going up top because we didn't have anybody high enough the pitch to do anything.
It just felt not only like with the players starting to take risks, and again, like you say, you want to get on Michael's back, like there's a tough job that's there, but it felt like the team that was picked wasn't really taking a risk either. It was very safe. And why are you doing that against Kazakhstan? Like Ross said, Bonus not even in the squad. Like, take the risk, have him there. We were struggling up top. Why not try something new? We haven't done it before. Let's just see how it goes.
Yeah, congratulations to him. I think that's a real key sign that potentially he is going to move on from the league. We'll have to see. Again, another great... That's a great thing in the shop window for Glentoran to have McMenamin out there doing that again from his shot, and then his cross in looked really dangerous and was exciting, and it was just brilliant to see an RC player like that actually impact the game as strongly as he did. It was fantastic. So yeah, look, up front we're not quite there yet, and yes, fitness probably played a role. I would like to have maybe swapped Lavery with Charles, that substitution, like Charles coming in rather than Lavery. So disappointment. We kind of knew this was probably on the cards, and we'll just have to move on. I feel like we're going to get into this famous last words, but if we have future podcasts coming up, we'll probably get into these a bit more, so we'll not get into too much depth. But we did find out the teams that are Irish League teams are going to face in Europe this year. We're playing against two Finnish teams. Physic, Lauren's got the toughest draw of the lot, clearly, because it's in the Champions League. You know, Helsinki, Finnish champions. I don't know. I think they can just go. It'll be a nice journey, really, for them.
Yeah, Helsinki's lovely, apparently.
Or maybe you're more confident.
No, I just think there's not a chance at all of them going through. And, you know, that's the Champions League for you. They got a tricky draw. You know, it's not their fault. We got the New Saints last year, and that's one of the better draws you can get. So it obviously doesn't help that they're unseeded, but obviously the Lauren project is to get into Europe more and more. So eventually, if the sneak go in here or there, they'll become seeded eventually. And, you know, I think you just have to enjoy the experience, even if it's not, if there's no Champions League music at Inver Park, and it'll be at Saltune instead, and you just have to go down and have a nice night.
And that's another story altogether. Forgot about that as well. So we also have Crusaders will also take on Finnish opposition against FC Haka. Again, I'm just stealing this on Twitter. Apparently they're not having a great season this year. We'll see. Again, I feel like Crusaders is a team that's really built for this kind of thing. They know what they're experienced with it. Glentoran take on Maltese opposition that they really should, like, they need to get through this. Like, come on, like, it's one of the easier draws. And then Linfield go against Albanian opposition. Not a walkover, to say the least, but really, you know, no more low expectations. I think when you get a decent draw, you need to progress rather than, fingers crossed, we'll see how it goes. And again, we just don't know how this Linfield team is set up for it. But again, fingers crossed, all going well. We'll be back again to talk about that before we get into the season proper. So yes, there is a bit of the state of the nation. All chill then. You've enjoyed your kind of month off somewhat of Irish League football. I feel like I'm starting to miss it.
I just can't believe it's coming back around again already.
I know.
Yeah, it's no time at all. I'm definitely missing it though. I can't wait to go back out there. See those, I know it's the wrong, with the weather we've just had, it's the wrong time to say it. See those cold, dark Friday nights. I can't wait.
Well, look, it's illegal to play football in summer, so don't be enjoying all those friendlies where you're having a wee cold one at a barbecue in some small ground you haven't been to in absolutely ages. I will probably be back at some point, maybe back next week. We'll just have to see. Like I said, this boy's got a big old wedding to plan, and it's coming around pretty, pretty quick. Had a lovely time in Lille. Boys, if you get a chance, go. I had a great time. It's a banging city, and I got to chat to a load of Lille fans, and I think they're like my new team now, you know, leal loyal, leal till I die. And it's a nice kit.
Yeah, kick a match podcast from France would have been absolutely brilliant.
Oh, absolutely. I just was able to go right. Like, I think they're playing against Nantes or whatever, and I just was like a wee bit feel myself, and I saw some random boy also in a Lille top, and I was like, F Nantes! And they're like, yes! Scoot Nantes! And I was like, cool, whatever, you know, we're all best mates here. But no, beautiful city. I've got my oil honeymoon sword as well. Gonna have a good old time as well. Gonna get some Belgian beers into me. I think you can see a bit of a trend. But boys, I know there's not a whole lot of stuff going on the socials, but where can people find your stuff personally if they want to review all the good things you did last season?
So personal is RossFelch8 on Instagram and Twitter. Joseph Stalin there while he finds his, which has probably changed again.
Genuinely.
Oh yeah, he gave it the wrong one a few times a while ago.
I get it wrong again every time.
And then we're Around the Grounds NI on Instagram and TikTok, and AT Grounds NI on Twitter.
The personal Twitter for me is Joseph_Battalion. That is the right one this time, 100%. The Insta, I don't have it here. It might be right, it might be wrong. Joseph_Battalion24. No idea.
The secret lies of Joseph Battalion, Big Joe Battalion, his big Spain excursions. Boys, been delight. I'll chat to you hopefully very soon.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks for having us, Peter.